Hi, Claire. I'm home.
Ed, where in the world did you get all that junk?
Oh, it's for the volunteer fire department. Pretty good, huh?
Doesn't look much like a new fire engine to me.
Oh, now, Claire, you can see what it is. Banged up toys.
That's what I thought it looked like.
We guys are going to fix them up over at the firehouse. Give them to the orphanage.
Oh?
It's our project this month. Here, come on, help me pick them up, will you?
Well, a little public spirit's a good thing for any organization.
American Medical Association and your local medical society invite you to hear Safe at Home, a specially transcribed series of music and comment designed to keep your home happy. Our scientific authority on this series is Fred B. Hine, Ph.D., Educational Consultant of the Bureau of Health Education of the American Medical Association. Well, Dr. Hunt, what do you think of Ed Adams' project, huh?
He picked a pretty good one, Jack Sterling. Fixing up old toys for children who'll appreciate them. I just hope he knows how to go about it.
Oh, Ed's handy with tools, Doctor. He's invented a lot of things.
But that's not what I meant, Jack. There's more to toys than just fixing up something pretty to please a child.
Oh, what do you mean?
Well, the toy has to be suitable for the child's age and stage of development. Even more important, it has to be safe.
Maybe we ought to write him a letter, Doctor.
Might be a good idea.
In the meantime, I'll ask the Roger Steele Trio to play something for us. I see they have the best things for you, so Roger, if you please. Nicely done, Roger. Well, Dr. Hine?
Back to the letter. I suppose we should start, Dear Ed Adams, care of the volunteer fireman.
Say, it's a shame to leave Claire out of it. Even if she isn't a volunteer fireman, she helps him a lot.
That's so. And probably women have more to do with choosing toys than men.
Sure.
So, all right, Dear Claire and Ed Adams.
What are you going to say first?
Well, I think the first thing is something about the children who are going to receive the toys. Are they all boys? Are they all girls? How old are they?
Of course, boys and girls like different kinds of toys. Naturally, you wouldn't give the same toy to a baby that you'd give to a 10-year-old.
Elementary, my dear Watson.
Uh-huh.
But we have even more than that to go on.
Oh, such as what?
In recent years, we've learned a good deal about growth and development in children, what they're likely to be able to do at approximate stages. For example, we know that a very young baby will curl his fingers around yours, but he hasn't learned to pick up an object between his thumb and forefinger.
You mean he'll curl his fingers around yours if he hasn't got his fist in his mouth?
There you've made a point. Everything a young baby gets hold of goes straight into his mouth.
Oh, yes.
So a toy for him should be small enough that he can get his hands around it, and large enough that he can't swallow it.
I get it, Doctor. He might be amused by colored beads on a string, but if he pulls one off, down the hatch.
That's the idea, Jack. And it applies not only to each toy as a whole, but to the parts of a toy. If the teddy bear, for example, has shoe button eyes, and he manages to pry one loose...
The teddy bear has to have eyes.
So they should be embroidered.
Ah, right. Well, I'd like a moment to mentally canvas my child's toy chest. In the meantime, Roger Steele once again. Goody, goody.
Now, in addition to the size of toys for young children, Jack, there are other elements of suitability. Take the material of which they're made.
Can you be more specific, Doctor?
There are excellent, tough plastic materials these days, and they make fine, durable toys. But the flimsy rattle that can be broken is hazardous.
Mm-hmm. A child could cut himself.
And for a child too young to understand that crayons shouldn't go into the mouth, the usual wax type can be dangerous.
Oh, but children love to color.
And there are harmless crayons available.
I didn't know that.
Then there's the matter of shape. Sharp objects, or toys which have sharp corners, can easily become the means of disaster.
Well, I've noticed that most nursery blocks, for example, have rounded corners.
So should nursery furniture, and the beloved toy truck should have graceful, rounded contours.
Most of the small ones of those are cast iron, I've noticed.
Until a child is well into the school years, scissors for his use should have blunt points. All children should be taught not to walk around carrying scissors or a pencil, of course, particularly a pencil in the mouth.
Oh, boy, one fall and a pencil could go into an eye or into his throat. Of course, nobody in his right mind would give a child darts, except the rubber suction cup kind.
Nor bows and arrows or bean shooters, pop guns, and certainly not a BB gun.
You know, I'm against all types of guns for children myself, Doctor, even play guns. But that's more a question of philosophy, I suppose, than health and safety. Another thing I'm against is lassos or any playing with rope.
Till they're ready for Boy Scouts, that's sure. Ropes certainly can be dangerous.
Oh, you've left out one thing that I certainly thought you'd mention, Dr. Hine. Maybe you will after we've heard some more music. The trio offer, Polly Wally Doodle.
I think I know what you feel we've left out of this letter, Jack. You're remembering the times we've cautioned about the paint to be used on toys and nursery furniture, or in fact anything inside a home where there are young children.
Yes, that's it, Doctor.
As we've said before, children up to a couple of years old put everything into their mouths. During the time they're cutting their teeth, they'll also chew on toys, furniture, and even windowsills.
So if Ed's going to paint any of those toys, he'd better be sure the paint he uses is lead-free. And that label should tell him.
That's right. If the label on the can of paint doesn't declare it to be free of lead, just don't use it.
I'm glad you included Claire in the letter. She'll see that all the firemen remember. Next week, Dr. Hine, we're supposed to talk about pets in the home.
That's a good subject. And before any of our listeners write us anxious letters defending the harmlessness of their dogs, cats, parakeets, monkeys, whirling mice, and what have you, maybe we should tell them that we like pets, too. What have you got at your house, Jack?
At the moment, a couple of dogs and a cat. How about you, Doctor?
With younger children, you're likely to have more pets. We're at a low ebb right now. At the moment, merely one dog. But over the years, we've had our share, too.
So it's agreed that we'll accentuate the positive. Until next week, then, thank you, Dr. Hine. Have been listening to Safe at Home, the fifth program in this transcribed series, brought to you each week at this time by the American Medical Association in cooperation with your local medical society. This program was written by Harriet Hester, directed by Martin Magner. Featured health authority on the program was Fred B. Hine, Ph.D., Educational Consultant, Bureau of Health Education of the American Medical Association. Music was by the Roger Steele Trio. Jack Sterling speaking. This program was produced by the Marshall Organization.